It may seem a little bit odd that tonight on Christmas Eve we're going to take a look at this passage, the last of in the series that we're doing, the canticles or the songs of Advent, declarations of praise in Luke. There's four of them. It's interesting that tonight we look at this last one because it actually takes place after the birth of Jesus. And today is December 24th. So it seems a bit out of place, but Simeon's song has something to teach us about this baby Jesus. So let's take a look just for a moment at this passage in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21. Should be on your screen there. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So I want to simply break down this passage and see what God might want us to learn here from this song of Simeon. Joseph and a little bit of the context, Joseph and Mary have come to Jerusalem to be faithful to the Old Testament law. Number one, Mary's purification. This would be on day 40, about just a little bit younger than Borden, our little baby boy. So we've been thinking about Jesus was like this size in this passage. About 6 weeks. So about day 40, according to Leviticus 12, 1 through 8, after childbirth, she was ritually unclean because of the loss of blood, according to Jewish law. And so she came for a purification cleansing there after childbirth. That's why they came, number one. Secondly, they've come for Jesus's presentation. Mary's purification, Jesus's presentation. Because Exodus 13, 2 through 12 says that the male child that first opens the womb will be consecrated to the Lord. Now, this is Jewish law. You don't start thinking, oh, we didn't do that or anything. What we're really to see in these verses, the circumcision, Mary's purification, Jesus' presentation, is to see really the faithfulness of Joseph and Mary to the Old Testament law. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law." Jesus was no lawless kind of bandit who came to call people to rebel against the law. No, and even His family was righteous and devout to the Old Testament law. They were also poor. We know that because the law actually said you are to bring a lamb. And here in this passage it says that according to the law of the Lord, they brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Because it doesn't mention the lamb here, it's likely that they didn't have enough money to bring the lamb, so they brought just two young birds. But ironically, they did present a lamb. They instead brought the most precious lamb, the Lamb of God. That's what they presented. So that's a little bit of the background of why they've come and why they have come to Jerusalem and they're there in the temple. It's a beautiful story of faithfulness. Verse 25, we're introduced to this man named Simeon. It's a great name, by the way. Simeon literally means herd. You may know in Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a word, the Shema, to hear, O Israel. It's the same root word as Simeon. Great name. You might want to name your son someday. At least in English, it's a boy's name. Simeon heard from the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you saw, but the Holy Spirit was mentioned three times in this passage. He's a man who was listening to the Holy Spirit, and it was revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Christ. Can you imagine the promise? Like, we don't know of anybody else that this was promised to, but it was promised to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Christ that was prophesied in the Old Testament, Jesus. So God has orchestrated these things in such a way that they enter the temple at the same time that He is there, and He takes Jesus in His arms. I don't know if how you picture this. Maybe sometimes, I think I've seen a painting where he's taking the baby Jesus and he's holding him up. Actually, the Greek word literally means the hook of the arm. So he's actually got Jesus cradled in his arm. Can you imagine? Just think for a moment. Here's this man, and he's got God the Son cradled in his arm. It blows my mind to think about who he's holding at that moment. The traditional title of why I named my sermon this weird Latin name called Nunc Dimittis is because it's a traditional name from Simeon's song, and it literally means, "Now send me," or "Now release me," or "Let me be dismissed." So he's literally saying, "Now let me die. I have seen the Christ." And he gives two blessings. I'm going to run through these pretty quickly. He gives two blessings. To be honest, I don't think I really saw this before, that there was two blessings. There's one, he blesses God in verse 28. And then in verse 34, it says he blesses them, Joseph and Mary. So let's look at these quickly. Blessing number one. He blesses God in verses 28 to 32. He says, he took up He took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, "Now, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The word Gentiles there, by the way, means ethnic groups or ethne. So Simeon, through the Holy Spirit, proclaims good news here in his blessing. I want you to notice something interesting, what he says. First, he says, I can now pass away because I've seen what you told me I would see. But notice that he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. He doesn't say, my eyes have seen the one who brings salvation. He literally says, I don't think that's ever happened to me before. I just learned a good lesson. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. He's actually seeing a baby. And he says, baby, salvation. This baby is salvation. Notice, too, that he says, my eyes have seen your salvation, that you, Lord, have prepared. Prepared. You have prepared. God the Father has prepared this baby for salvation. Those words reminded me of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, which says, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. God the Father prepared this baby to be salvation. Jesus, the baby, grew up and he was sacrificed on the cross as an offering for sin, the sins of all of those who would believe in him, the sins of the whole world. And Simeon says, this is salvation, and God has prepared this baby. Simeon goes on to say that this salvation, this Jesus, this baby he's holding is for all nations. It's really interesting, actually. He says Laos, like the country Laos, which means people. He says, you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to all of the ethne and for the glory of your people Israel. So in there he has all people, all nations, Jews and Gentiles alike. It's actually taken, this where it says a light for revelation to the Gentiles is taken from Isaiah 49:6, an interesting verse. I would encourage you to read this verse very carefully. He says, it is too light. Some translations say it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. It's too small just for Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. We actually represent in this room people from many different nations. It would be a lot if we were to raise our hands and say where we're from. This verse is telling us, we know from the Bible, that people in all nations are welcome to come to Christ. People in all nations are striving to keep evil away from them, to make their sins go away or be erased, going to temples, killing chickens, or offering up incense, or joss sticks, and praying, or doing prostrate around the temple clockwise or counterclockwise, depending on which religion you fall into. People are just striving all through the nations to try to remove their sins, try to find happiness, try to find meaning in life, to find hope of life after death. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. They won't work. There's only one sacrifice that will work for our sin. That's Jesus, that baby who grew up on the cross. So actually, this is good news. He says, Jesus is a light for all of those from all nations who are in darkness spiritually. Jesus is our salvation. Simeon is preaching good news to us. That's his first blessing. And you'd like to think that both of these blessings would be good news. And they are, but the second one is a little unexpected. This Jesus is so wonderful, you'd think that everybody in the world would receive Christ. Everybody would want Christ. Say, yeah, of course I believe in Jesus. But many in the world actually stumble and struggle with Jesus. Is he really who he says he is? Could this really be true? Did God really take on human flesh? Did he live a sinless life? Did he really die on a cross and rise from the dead and ascend into heaven? And is he really coming back? Is he really able to give eternal life? It's a struggle for many. Simeon's second blessing, let's look at it in verse 34. We see, along with the good news, is the reality that Jesus is also a stone of stumbling. Verse 34, Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Interesting. Simeon's second blessing highlights the fact that Jesus will be hard for some to accept. And many will be opposed to Jesus. He says that even Mary herself will experience some kind of pain in her heart and soul because of Christ. The word pierce there is not used very many times. It means like a javelin spear. So it could be referring to her own pain that she would experience as Jesus' side was pierced to see her son be killed. Simeon's second blessing highlights the fact that many will stumble over Christ. It's a common theme throughout the Bible that Jesus is what's called a stone of stumbling or a rock of offense. Even today, you know in your life, if you're a Christian, you know in your relationships with your family, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, when you start talking about Jesus, things just get a little interesting. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14 says that the Messiah will become a sanctuary for some and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling. A sanctuary or a stone of offense. So Simeon's song here is a declaration of truth about who Jesus is. Yes, he is good news. He is salvation. And salvation is to be found in him and in him alone. God prepared and set apart Jesus to become a man, to suffer and die in his body on the cross, to pay for the sins of all who believe in him. But to many, well, for many of us who are believers and millions around the world, he is the light that brought us out of darkness. We have turned to Jesus and he's taken away our sin. But to many others still, Jesus is offensive. They don't like to say his name. Even in my country, it's very taboo to say Merry Christmas in department stores and commercially in America, and Happy Holidays. But they don't want you to talk about Christmas. This Christmas, I pray that you will think hard about who Jesus is. The fact that salvation is available through Jesus Christ. The clear teaching of the Bible is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that is great news. That we can have eternal life. All of the bad things that we have ever done, God will forgive us through Christ's sacrifice and through Christ. He is salvation, as Simeon said. And I pray that you will not stumble over Christ, but you will instead do as Simeon did and embrace Christ. You see, for those of us who are believers, our calling in life is to be a lot like Simeon. We are to wait. We're waiting on the arrival of Christ, aren't we? We're waiting on his second return. We wait. We cannot wait to see him. And when we see him, we can embrace him. Until that day, we embrace him figuratively with all of our hearts and all of our faith and trust. I pray that all of you will find Christ to be your Savior. Take him in your arms like Simeon. Hold him close and trust him with all of your heart. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We have no hope except that we believe that Christ died for us. We expect to swing out into eternity on that. We look forward to that day. Thank you for the hope that we have, that in this life we have all kinds of troubles and difficulties, but we know Christ is our only hope, and we have eternal life in him. I pray for every person in this room that through your Holy Spirit, you will work in their hearts and give them what they need. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.